Chapter 9. Decapitation. Execution. He's coming down. The ziggurat was just where Thaumatica said it would be. Vast and monolithic, with spired towers that burned the fog rising from its corners. Caustic rain streamed down its bronze metal facades. It squatted like a sacrificial fane at the edge of an open platform, upon which stood two gargantuan figures.
Titans, said Thoic.
Cybus felt his chest tighten. But these engines were adapted for labor and engineering purposes, not war. Instead of carapace-mounted missile launchers, they bore lifter rigs. Fuel connector and grappling limbs took the place of plasma annihilators and Gatling cannons. Sharokin was probably already here, but Cybus didn't bother to try and guess where the Raven Guard might be hidden. The bulk of the central platform housed the refueling column, a conflation of monstrously thick cylinders of flex steel that speared into the clouds like the corded trunk of the mightiest tree imaginable. Vapor tugs that were little more than colossally powerful engines, with a pilot's cab bolted on top, kept tight to the column, ready to begin the refueling operation. Cybus couldn't see the Alpha Legion ships yet, but they were on their way. Already the sky was raging with atmospheric tempests caused by the inhuman bulk of the descending vessels. A 1,000-strong host of dark-robed Mechanicum adepts, servitors and loaders stood in ordered ranks. Wind and rain lashed them, but they didn't move so much as a muscle. Cybus ignored them. They weren't his objective.
Up there,
he said, pointing to a cantilevered control hub jutting from the ziggurat's upper reaches.
That's where we need to be.
Thoic nodded.
We don't have much time, he said, looking over at a stepped switchback climbing the ziggurat's rain-slick flanks.
And that's a long way up.
Cybus looked back at the two captured speeders.
Well, Sharokin did say to hurry, said Cybus. But first I need you to do something, Septus.
What's that?
I need you to shoot me.
Cybus slammed into the armoured bulkhead, leaving a trail of blood down the metal. Blood poured from a shallow gash where a bolt shell had creased his arm. Behind him, warriors in torn and battered armour crowded the gantry, firing bolters down the switchback. He hammered a fist on the bulkhead.
Open up!
Yelled Cybus.
They're right behind us!
Mass reactives exploded against the bulkhead. Cybus ducked and fired a 3-round burst from the hip. A grenade detonated somewhere below. The legionary bellowed in mock pain.
Sitomatics!
He roared.
Sitobloodymatics!
He had no real idea what the words meant, only that it was some kind of code phrase. He just hoped it wasn't one that would get him killed. More warriors backed onto the gantry before the bulkhead. Like Cybus, their armour bore blast scars, tears from chain weapons, and was smeared with blood. All self-inflicted, but the effect was strikingly convincing.
Come on, come on,
muttered Cybus, dropping to one knee and firing over the heads of his men. Magnetic locks disengaged within the ziggurat, and the meters-thick bulkhead split at its middle. Hot air, thick with incense and oily sweat, gusted out on a wind of positive pressure. Cybus rose to his feet and backed into the control hub, yelling at his warriors. He turned as soon as he was in, a mental map of the hub's interior imprinting on his mind. Angles of attack, threat vectors. Two Alpha Legionnaires flanked the opening door, another in each corner, two more in the centre of a semicircular arc of cogitators. A high bank of air traffic control terminals ran the length of the glass-fronted facade. 8 warriors.
Get in!
He shouted back to his warriors.
Before they rush the damn gate!
More of his warriors ran in through the opened bulkhead. Cybus counted them in as an Alpha Legionnaire hammered a fist against his shoulder guard. It took every fragment of willpower Cybus possessed not to immediately rip the bastard's head off.
Who's out there?
Demanded the warrior.
The 19th!
Gasped Cybus.
Ravengard, said the warrior with grating disbelief. Impossible!
Cybus heard an edge of doubt. He could practically see the legionary's thought processes. If any legion could have infiltrated the platform secretly, it would be the 19th. The warrior came to a decision.
How many of them?
Cybus grinned within his helmet as the bulkhead closed behind the last of his warriors.
When Sharokin said I was a terrible liar.
Who?
The man who's hopefully about to kill you.
Sharokin obliged and put a cluster of crystalline slugs through the Alpha Legionnaire's skull. The warrior standing over Cybus fell, and Sharokin immediately switched targets. The mercury-bright icons worn by Cybus's men made picking kills simplicity itself, almost too easy. Sharokin shot the two warriors in the center of the hub, one through an eye lens, the other in the throat, a classic side-by-side kill. The Alpha Legionnaires in the corners of the hub dropped and found cover, moving beyond his sight. Fine. He'd done what he could from here. The rest was up to Tyro and Medjuson. Tempting to remain in situ, targets of opportunity would likely present themselves. He shook his head. That kind of thinking got a sniper killed. Time to displace, find another shooting location, kill more traitors. Cybus rolled into cover as mass reactives ploughed the deck. He rose to his knees and ripped a burst of shells over to where the shots had come from. Detonations glanced from the metal walls and banks of machinery. Slates exploded in storms of smoky shards. The weakened armor glass window blew out, and petrochemical winds ripped into the hub. A blizzard of loose ticker tape streams and dust filled the air. Thralls and implanted servitors sat oblivious or uncaring at the slaughter going on around them. Most died at their stations. Those with autonomy of thought and movement tried to run. They didn't get more than a few steps before being torn apart in the crossfire. Horizontal streams of gunfire ripped back and forth across the hub. Two of his warriors were down, proving that even with the element of surprise, nothing was certain. Cybus still had enough warriors left to finish the job. He crawled to the edge of his cover, a shattered bank of logic engines. Thematica would likely berate him for the destruction he'd caused, but let him take this place without a shot. Cybus let a rare grin rest on his lips. Most warriors hated fighting in confined spaces, but these were the kinds of fights the Iron Tenth relished. With a boarding shield, he'd be in among the Alpha Legion right now, elbow deep in entrails and bloodied to the waist. Cybus gripped the dead Alpha Legionnaire, the one he'd spoken to, and hauled him upright with a grunt of effort. A transhuman warrior in full armor was still heavy, even to another Gen Hans physique. He lifted the body over the edge of the console, and a burst of shells punched through the corpse's chest with cracks of shattered ceramite and bone. Cybus released the body and surged to his feet. Alpha Legionnaire to the left. He squeezed the trigger, and the enemy warrior fell with most of his shoulder and half his skull missing. Four down, four left alive. With more men, the advantage lay with Cybus, and the enemy knew it. He could have killed them all by now, and laughed as he imagined their confusion. He let them call for aid. He was counting on it.
Septus!
He yelled.
Go low around the right flank. They'll be keeping clear of that window, so drive them hard against the far wall. Then keep down for the hammer strike.
Thoic nodded and moved off, drawing three more iron hands to him. Cybus waved his remaining warriors over as relentless volleys of suppressive fire punished the Alpha Legion. With nowhere else to go, they fought with their backs to the wall. One of Thoic's men fell, his helmet a bloody bowl of sopping matter. Cybus felt his rage coalesce into something primal.
The Ingot is upon the anvil, he roared. Now let the hammer fall!
On his last word, every one of the iron hands dropped to the floor. A hurricane of impacts blew the back wall of the hub inwards. Heavy caliber mass reactives soared through the steelwork behind the Alpha Legion. Shredded metal flew like bronzed decoy chaff, and the light from the storm-racked sky poured inside. The enemy legionaries were ripped apart by the blitzkrieg of explosive shells. Armor and flesh were obliterated as thoroughly as any abattoir's thresher blades could manage. Cybus saw the two captured speeders through the ripped steel walls strafing left and right, booming muzzle flares and high-velocity explosive rounds chugging from their heavy bolters.
"Stand down!" ordered Cybus. "They're dead!"
The heavy bolters ceased fire, and Thoic rose from cover an instant later to make sure of that. He went from body to body, systematically putting a bolt round through the skull of every fallen Alpha Legionnaire. Somewhere in the fighting, Thoic had removed his helmet, and Cybus saw the hate in his eyes, a well that seemed utterly depthless. Ferus Manus was dead, and for many of his proud sons only hate remained. Yet beyond that hate, Cybus saw regret. It surprised him because he had not thought Septus Thoic capable of regret. But wasn't that the truest expression of this war? Regret for what the War Master had driven them to, and all that would be lost by its ending.
"Clear,"
said Thoic, and Cybus nodded, his moment of introspection already forgotten. He bent to wrench a fallen Alpha Legionnaire's ruined helm from his head. Frantic, tinny vox chatter echoed from within, rapid-fire questions in the enemy's rancid serpent tongue. Cybus couldn't understand the words, but the meaning was obvious. He switched frequency.
"This is Cybus. We have the hub," he said. "Enemy inbound."
A key objective in any ambush was to get as many of the enemy as possible within the kill box before opening fire. Another principle of ambush was to render what appeared to be the most promising escape route a death trap. In both respects, the Iron Hands ambush was textbook. Two demi-squads of Alpha Legion, approaching from the east and south, moved onto the platform. They converged on the Ziggurat refinery with all the caution, skill, and aggression to be expected from Legion warriors. Flashes of sheet lightning burst within the tortured clouds. Rolling peals of thunder echoed from the cliff-sided silos. Sharokin took the first kill as a crack of thunder slammed over Lerner 212. Headshot. A lieutenant by the rank markings. The headless corpse keeled over as his warriors broke for the switchback to the control hub. Bolter fire chased them to where the warriors of Cadmus Tyro and Shadrach Medjuson were waiting, and no bastion of the Imperial Fists ever had a more complete system of enfilades. Interlocking fields of fire allowed even relatively unskilled gunners to lay down killing volumes of firepower and shred an enemy advance. When the gunners were as skilled and vengeful as the Iron Tenth, there could be no escape. The enemy warriors died in seconds, swiftly bracketed and pummeled by explosive rounds. With the first volley, they knew they were dead, but fought back anyway. The Alpha Legion were traitors, but they were still armored transhumans and died as hard as any. In minutes, all but one Alpha Legionnaire was dead. The last enemy warrior had survived four mass reactives that blasted most of his torso clear. His left arm was missing from the shoulder, yet still he fought. He killed two of Medjuson's men before Cadmus Tyro finally put him down with a shot to the side of the head. Vermana Cybus appeared at the top of the switchback, the jade hydra on his shoulder guard now defaced with a bloody X. He pointed skywards, where the vast, lightning-wreathed belly of a starship parted the yellow clouds like a plowshare through poison soil. The void made it difficult to grasp the inhuman scale of the strike cruiser, but Lerner 212's towering silos made it all too clear. Plated in stained indigo, the warship's bulk was awe-inspiring, its very simplicity speaking of the grand complexity within.
"He's here," said Medjuson.
The rain was unending, all but drowning the refinery in an instant deluge. It poured in waterfalls from the silos and sent foaming rivers of pollution gurgling in the spaces between the platform's metallic structures. Two more warships now held station over Lerner 212, alongside the strike cruiser. their reflections wavering in the rainbow-streaked mirror of the platform below. Smaller vessels, to be sure, but each with firepower enough to send the platform crashing into the planet's growing acid oceans. Circling fire raptor gunships kept on station with their carriers, ready to pounce on anything that dared approach in a way they didn't like.
"Throne, Vamana, did you have to destroy so much of this place?"
snapped the Mataka, as he fought to restore more than one bank of cogitators.
"There's barely enough functionality to keep a pretense that Learner 212 is still operational."
The iron-wrought servo arms worked furiously at his back, like the legs of a spider furiously weaving its web.
"Well, did you think the Alpha Legion were just going to surrender once I got in, Freighter?"
answered Cybus.
"I had to kill them, and killing legionaries in a confined space is messy."
"Yes, but speeders? Was that really necessary?"
"We got the job done," said Cybus.
"Not exactly subtle, though, was it?"
said Thematica, through what sounded like gritted teeth.
"You should know by now that subtle isn't part of Cybus's tactical lexicon, Freighter,"
said Ignatius Newman with a booming laugh that rivaled the thunder. Picking his way through the ruins of the control hub, Tyro was forced to agree. Cybus never did anything by half, but this felt extreme even for him. On the opposite side of the smashed hub, Medjuson stood over a dead Alpha Legionnaire.
"That it should come to this," he said with real regret.
"What's that?"
asked Tyro. Medjuson shook his head.
"Brothers killing brothers."
Tyro had no answer. Brothers had been killing brothers for years since Istvan. Had its absurdity and horror only now struck home with Medjuson? Gascon Malthay shadowed his war leader, but Ashur Maesan made his own way through the hub. He knelt beside each corpse, and his Hebmesser carved the service studs from its brow in quick, bloody strokes. Tyro was not above taking war trophies, but mutilating the dead left a bad taste in his mouth.
"Is that really necessary?"
Tyro asked. Medjuson looked over to his sergeant's gruesome labours and shrugged.
"We all have our ways of dealing with betrayal. Mason has his, you have yours, and I have mine. I'll not stand between a man and the means he chooses to slake his vengeance."
Tyro turned away from his fellow captain's indifference to Mason's acts and returned to Thematica's side. Cybus and the freighter were still remonstrating against one another.
"Subtle doesn't get the job done quickly,"
said Cybus.
"But it would have made this much easier,"
grumbled Thematica as a last parting shot.
"Enough,"
said Tyro.
"We're still on mission."
This was Thematica issuing commands to the servitor-crewed titans on the platform and vectoring the dozens of vapor tugs lifting enormous fuel pipes to the vessels above. Ignited contrails, plasma bright and falling like droplets of phosphor, painted the clouds over Learner 212 with arcing lines of fire. The strike cruiser had accepted the challenge codes Wayland had lifted from the Zeta Morgeld's log, and as far as anyone on the ships above was aware, nothing was awry.
"Any word yet from Wayland?"
asked Tyro.
"Nothing yet. The Cryptos is still passing the Vox traffic, passing between the ships,"
said Thematica, his face lined with concentration.
"I would surmise that it should be easy enough to deduce which ship the Primarch is on."
"If he's even on one of them,"
pointed out Cybus.
"The nature of the Vox traffic should tell us that, too."
"And once we know,"
said Cybus. Thematica pointed to the throbbing fuel lines arcing up to the strike cruiser.
"Yeah, what's going up those pipes is a highly volatile fuel-air mix, together with a timed chemical detonator,"
he said with more than a hint of pride.
"When that ship triggers its main drive unit, a virtually instantaneous chemical cascade will begin within its fuel tanks that will blow it to its component atoms."
"Well, why not just do that to them all?"
"Because we will learn of the success or otherwise of this mission by their reaction," said Medjuson,
picking over the debris to look up through the shattered window at the front of the hub.
"Medjuson,"
said Tyro.
"Get back. If any of those fire raptors see you...
If they look that closely, it won't matter, said Medjuson. They'll see the broken window and the shut-up walls.
Before Tyro could say anything more, the panel beside Thematica lit up with incoming vox. The speaker grill was smashed, so Freighter routed it directly to his helm. He listened closely and nodded, before finally transmitting a binaric reply.
What was that? Asked Tyro. Trouble?
Cybus, you need to get down to the platform right now, said Thematica. And this time, you have to be subtle.
Why?
Asked Cybus.
What's happening?
He is coming down, said Thematica.
Who?
Who do you think?
The unwavering dot at the center of Sharokin's crosshairs followed Cybus and Thoic as they led their combat squad through the hundreds of laboring Mechanicum adepts and servitors. Half a kilometer from the central fueling rig, a cruciform pattern of blinking lights was guiding a Thunderhawk through the downpour. He watched from the shadows of a vent tower 300 meters up from the deck of the platform. With good fields of fire all around and a view of both the landing platform and the control hub, it was a perfect sniper's nest. Sharokin eased the rifle back, spotting the two covering squads of Medjuson's Iron Hands moving across the platform in support. They were good. Sharokin had to give them their due. Each man moved swiftly and silently, keeping Cybus and his warriors in sight while keeping clear of the hundreds of milling tech priests and vassal thralls. The roar of the gunship's engines was loud enough to hear over the thunder, and Sharokin eased his eye from the rifle's sight to look up. An anonymous aircraft. Unremarkable. But that was only to be expected. Not for Alpharius, the vanity or ostentation of a signature aircraft, just whichever flyer happened to be next on the rotation. Sharokin admired the sentiment. Of all the men Tyro could have sent to meet an enemy Primarch, Cybus was least suited to acts of guile. As direct a man as it was possible to be, yet here he was marching to meet a master of deception and misdirection. Sharokin let his crosshairs drift over the five warriors accompanying Cybus. He knew them all. Years spent confined aboard the same starship left no other choice. But he knew them beyond just their names and shared history. He trained with these men and fought alongside them. He knew how they moved, where their skills lay, and to which of them he might teach his own skills. He'd learned their strengths, their weaknesses, and their individual pathologies, the ones prone to despair, those who turned their grief inwards, and those who expressed it as pure hate. In this respect, he knew them better than they knew themselves. Even in their Alpha Legion plate, and without knowing which warrior wore which suit, Sharokin could identify each man by the way he carried himself, the way he walked, or the tilt of his head. Cybus marched chest first, thrusting himself at the world, and Septus Thoic had a bullish aggression that practically dared those around him to test his strength. Brother Gavril favoured his left side, his hips fractionally out of balance. Vedran carried himself loosely, both shoulders always in motion, ready to fight. Radek had taken a mass reactive to the spine on Istvan, and now walked with a barely perceptible limp. Olek's left hand was locked in a fist, after an electromagnetic pulse fused the mechanisms of his bionic, and he'd refused to let Thematica or Wayland replace it. Sharokin's crosshairs returned to Thoic and Cybus. The instincts that had brought him to the attention of the Shadow Masters told him something was awry with what he was seeing. His instincts were almost never wrong, and his finger curled around the trigger of his needle carbine. What was he seeing? The rain had washed the blood from their armor, but it was clear they had both been wounded in the fight to take the hub. Was that all it was? That they were bearing wounds? The Thunderhawk rolled in on a fast combat drop, and the howling jet wash wreathed both Iron Hands in sheets of vapor. The gunship's wings flared, and its landing claws hit hard enough to drive it into a short skid. The assault ramp dropped a moment later, and 10 legionaries emerged at speed. guns tight to their shoulders, scanning all around for threats. Just the kind of behaviour Sharakin would expect if Korax were about to set foot from a gunship. Not that the Raven Lord would ever be so obvious. Behind them came a warrior in the same unadorned plate as the combat squad. Lustrous indigo, gleaming in the rainwater streaming from its curved surfaces. Alpharius. Taller than his warriors, but not so much as to render him godlike. He reached up to remove his helmet, and Sharukin's finger tightened on the trigger. Enough to slip a needle cluster into the breech of his carbine, but not enough to activate the laser designator. Sharakin eased his finger from the trigger guard. He had put a round into Fulgrim's skull on Hydra Cordatus, but the Phoenician yet lived, and had become something beyond mortal understanding. No. This was Cybus's moment.